tonight, I just really wanted to share a little bit of my heart for 2017 and for what's gone in 2016 and many of the years before that as well. I just sensed, I was a bit saddened actually at the end of 2016 when I started seeing a lot of Facebook posts come up of like what a terrible year 2016 was, blah, blah, blah. Come on 2017. On the 1st of January, it's all going to be different. And I just was saddened by it because actually I felt that the Lord had done some amazing things in 2016. And there was just always in my spirit, it just felt like such a promise for 2016. And I just felt that potentially we missed out on just something of the Lord in 2016 because we switched and we started listening to the world's prophecy over us for 2016. But I don't think the Lord says you've missed that, so you can't have that now. I'm sure he's going to deliver all the promises of 2016 into 2017, because it's not one year gone and we start another, but we build upon the history with God throughout the years. So I just wanted to share a couple of prophecies, really, that have to start off with tonight, that have been spoken out over our nation. Because I think it's really important to listen to what has been said about our nation. Because we live in a time where everybody has an opinion of what the church, what is happening to the church in our country. It's void, it doesn't mean anything anymore, it's on decline. But the Lord is saying something very different. So one of the prophecies that has really helped me throughout the years is that we're an awakened people, that we have been awakened as the church. And there was a prophecy that came out in 2012 for the Olympics. I don't know if any of you grabbed hold of this. And it came out before the Olympics, and it said, "The bells are ringing over the United Kingdom again." And what that was the bells of the old cathedrals and the churches would ring again, that people would be called to worship and prayer. And what I love about the bells in the old churches is that they ring to awaken people to worship out in their fields, out in their workplace. It's not come to us, but it's like the presence is coming to you. And so there was this prophecy that the bells will ring over your nation again. So we've been awakened to be people of worship and of prayer, and it's so great with our vision and values of every person, every place. It's in line with that prophecy that we will be people awakened to the presence of God wherever we are at. And what I love about that 2012 prophecy was I heard about it, and so I started really getting excited for the Olympics, because I was thinking, we're going to be awakened as a nation. There was a big bell for the Olympics that was going to be donged. And then on the morning of the Olympic ceremony, I put GMTV on, because that's how I rolled. I was a stay-at-home mum. And they had called the whole nation at 8 a.m. to ring a bell. Don't you think that's amazing? They called every household in the United Kingdom to grab something in their house and ring a bell. Now, they thought they were ringing it for the opening of the Olympics, but the Lord was saying, they're ringing it, and I'm getting my people to awaken this nation. So we're living in a time that we're the awakened people. We're in it. We're living it. We're in it. There was another prophecy in the 1930s that there would be a wildfire of the presence of God in this nation, and it will come here and it's spread out to Europe. Now the world tells us we've broken ties with Europe, but the Lord says no, that tie is still strong, that we're going to have a wildfire of God. We're in it, we're living it. It's been spoken over us. And the recent one that has been just going everywhere, it's been flying around this for 2016, was the Song of Songs, Arise and Shine. And that the winter is past and the springtime is here. And it was just such a sense that we're in a season that we're awakened, that we're called to worship and prayer, but we're in a season where it's springtime. But the world will say to us, the church, you're in a winter. But the Lord says we're in springtime. So this is just some of the things in which I pull upon in my prayer time when my Facebook page and my Twitter page wants to tell me that 2016 was rubbish and that 2017 is going to be all this amazing stuff, and it is going to be amazing, but the truth is that we're building upon something that the Lord has already imparted to us. I mean, it's been going on for centuries. It's nothing new. We can't make up anything new for this year. It's something that is going to keep on going. It's a deep, deep well. And I really believe that we are in a time where we're going to see just such breakthrough of God. I really believe that I felt that was for 2016, but 2017, come on. Yeah, I think we had it prophesied here one prayer night that we're thermostats. That the Lord set the temperature for our nation. And I really, truly believe we're going to see breakthrough. Who wants breakthrough? I want breakthrough. And then we had a breakthrough night, which is amazing. So I wanted to look at Luke 10, because this is one of a story in which I see where boundaries have completely been broken, that Mary can break through and come to the feet of Jesus. So let's look at it quickly. So it's Luke 10. So it's 38:42. I'll read it out for us. Sorry, wrong page. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." I love this scripture reading, because I think there is one interpretation, I think it's a good interpretation of that, about work and rest, that we're designed to be people that come before the feet of Jesus and rest in his presence, not to get busy dashing and rushing around. And I think that's so true, and we should pull that truth from this message. But when I read it, I see something deeper going on as well. That's something that's just so simple and has sprung out to me when later reading it, is actually, maybe Martha wasn't just upset because Mary wasn't putting her away. And I have always grappled with this, of like, I bet Jesus still ate the meal she prepared. I used to get a bit annoyed with that. Like, he's telling her don't cook it, but I bet he ate it. So it never sat completely right with me. But she's rushing around, but he's saying don't do that. But if no one got fed, Martha would get in trouble. So... But when I look upon it, and when I've done a bit of research on the background of it, is actually Mary was in a position in the home in which a woman maybe shouldn't have been in. That she was in the central room in which only men would go to learn from a rabbi, to learn from Jesus. So maybe Martha is actually a little bit more embarrassed at Mary's scandalous behaviour. Like, "Mary, I can't believe you're in that room. Come out. You're meant to be helping me in the kitchen. Jesus, can you not see what she's doing? Trying to cover her sister at the same time. But she's in this room where she shouldn't potentially be." And the truth I pull from this is that Mary would do absolutely anything to get to Jesus, no matter what it looks like. And I think sometimes we can press into a Martha mode rather than a Mary mode of doing what looks right in what the world would say, "Oh, that's nice. You've had your little portion. Now go home. Don't rock the boat." But Mary just wants to be with Jesus. and she doesn't care what the world says. She doesn't care what political boundaries she's stepping over to get to him. So my question to us is, what is getting in your way of getting to Jesus? Who is setting the tone for your discipleship? See, Mary wasn't just there so she could just sit and look at Jesus and say, isn't he lovely? You're so amazing, Lord. And I think she did do that. But she was there because she wanted Jesus to be her rabbi. She knew what he was up to. She knew what he was like. And she wanted to learn from him. And she wanted to almost be a rabbi herself. You only follow a rabbi if you want to be a rabbi. So she's there and she's saying, Jesus, I want to be like you. Everything I've seen, I want to be like. So my question is, what are we willing to barge past, open the door to, walk through, in order that we can be before Jesus and be like Jesus? We need to be like Jesus. So we've talked about revival earlier on in our singing, and what Malcolm said, it's Jesus. If we want all these things, we need to be like Jesus. So I want to just break us into groups for a couple of minutes, for a couple of moments. And I just want you to discuss with one another what it looks like to burst through boundaries, to step over boundaries, to step through doors. What are your boundaries? What are the things in which maybe others are putting before you? Maybe some of mine in my years have been, oh, you shouldn't worship like that. That's not that acceptable. Oh, Lydia, maybe you should just be a better housewife. Forget this leadership thing. Be a housewife. We get these boundaries that are put on our life, but what do we need to step over in order to get to Jesus that we can live more like him? So let's just take a few moments and discuss with one another and explore with one another what you think that might look like. And then we'll come back together.